ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 20, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Kritavan kila karamani saharamena keshavaha atimartyani bhagavan gurha kapata manushaha. Translation, Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead along with Balaram, played like a human being and so masked he performed many superhuman acts. Purport. The doctrines of anthropomorphism and zoomorphism are never applicable to Sri Krishna or the personality of Godhead. The theory that a man becomes God by dint of penance and austerities is very much rampant nowadays, especially in India. Since Lord Rama, Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were detected by the sages and saints to be the personality of Godhead, as indicated in revealed scriptures, many unscrupulous men have created their own incarnations. This process of concocting an incarnation of God has become an ordinary business, especially in Bengal. Any popular personality with a few traits of mystic powers will display some feat of jugglery and easily become an incarnation of Godhead by popular vote. Lord Sri Krishna was not that type of incarnation. He was actually the personality of Godhead from the very beginning of his appearance. He appeared before his so-called mother as four-armed Vishnu. Then at the request of the mother, he became like a human child and at once left her for another devotee at Gokul, where he was accepted as the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Mata. Similarly, Sri Baladev, the counterpart of Lord Sri Krishna, was also considered a human child born of another wife of Sri Vasudeva. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that his birth and deeds are transcendental and that anyone who is so fortunate as to know the transcendental nature of his birth and deeds will at once become liberated and eligible to return to the kingdom of God. So, knowledge of the transcendental nature of the birth and deeds of Lord Sri Krishna is sufficient for liberation. In the Bhagavatam, the transcendental nature of the Lord is described in 9 cantos, and in the 10th canto, his specific pastimes are taken up. All this becomes known as one's reading of this literature progresses. It is important to note here, however, that the Lord exhibited his divinity even from the lap of his mother, that his deeds are all superhuman, he lifted Govardhan Hill at the age of 7, and that all these acts definitely prove him to be actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet due to his mystic covering, he was always accepted as an ordinary human child by his so-called father and mother and other relatives. Whenever some Herculean task was performed by him, the father and mother took it otherwise, and they remain satisfied with unflinching filial love for their son. As such, the sages of Naimisharanya describe him as apparently resembling a human being, but actually he is the Supreme Almighty Personality of Godhead. Kritavan kilakaramani saharamena keshavaha atimatyani bhagavan gudha kapatamanushaha. Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, a lord with Balaram, played like a human being, and so masked, he performed many superhuman acts. This is the first verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that specifically mentions Balaram. Although the name is given as Rama, it's clear from the context that this refers to Balaram. I spoke on this verse earlier today at the camp in Lika, and what I say now might be quite similar to what I said then, but no harm. In reading Srila Prabhupada's books and in listening to his lectures, we hear that he goes over the same topics. Often he covers the same topics repeatedly. as he mentions in one purport, repetition is necessary for understanding, especially in Kali Yuga, where I'm commonly told, often told by devotees, that, well, I read the books, but I don't remember anything. I remember very little. And apparently, according to our dear friends, the psychologists, no one who reads a book the first time remembers more than 20%. That seems to be a lot, probably a lot less. So, hearing again and again, Shunyad Shunvatam Nityam, repeatedly hearing, Grinatas Chas Vachayishtitam, Kalena Narta Dirghani Bhagavan Vishate Hridi, by hearing again and again and endeavoring to understand the subject matter very sincerely, then within a short time, or not a very long time, we will find that Bhagavan is manifest in our heart. So as anyone, it's even outside of Krishna consciousness, anyone who has a message to propagate will find themselves saying the same thing over and over again. The same objections will come, the same questions will come again and again and again. So one has to be patient and prepared to say the same thing over and over again. If someone is promoting, for instance, some debate is going on in some countries that drugs, recreational drugs that are now prohibited should be allowed. So the people who are making a case for that, they'll meet the same objections again and again and again, and they'll have to repeat them again and again. And their mission may or may not be successful. So in propagating Krishna consciousness, again and again and again, we'll come across the same questions. And again and again and again, we have to be prepared to answer them. Today, we're not in a situation, hopefully, where it's a question of challenge, but of we're here among devotees in which we should be able to discuss such topics openly. Devotees should be open to understanding such topics. So, in the Kampatlika, I emphasized these two aspects of Balaram's transcendental personality for which he is best known, that he is very strong. That strength is not physical strength. The material energy is just the shadow, perverse energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in one sense, we can say he has physical strength, but its physical strength is included as a very small part of the Supreme Lord's energy. It's his external energy. It's insignificant energy. Balaram's strength, well, all strength, but he especially manifests the strength of Krishna. Krishna is all strong, all powerful, and that strength is seen in Balaram also. For us, what does that mean? We require strength. We require strength because we are very weak. We are in this material ocean. In this material existence, we require strength to come out of it. Not by our own strength we can come out. We require help. So the strength, Balaram gives that strength. We should pray in the purport in the seventh canto, Achyuta Bala. These two words are given. Achyuta Bala means the strength of Achyuta, the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Achyuta is a name for Krishna. It's also applicable to Balaram, but in the purport, Srila Prabhupada describes that this refers to Krishna and Balaram. We should pray to Krishna and Balaram for strength. So Balaram gives strength. That strength is transmitted through the disciplic succession. We gain strength from a guru. The guru represents Balaram. Balaram is the first guru in the sense that every guru must point toward Krishna, surrender to Krishna. So Balaram is the first one to do so. Surrender to Krishna. And he imparts strength. The strength to stick to Krishna consciousness despite all impediments, all disappointments, all frustrations, all propaganda to the contrary, the strength to stick to Krishna consciousness comes from our own sincerity and the strength that is given by Balaram. There are various rules and regulations to be followed in the practicing stage of Krishna consciousness, the sadhana dasha. Those rules are there to promote the practitioner's attraction to Krishna. These rules, they fall in the category called vidhi, or that which should be done. Such rules include: one should rise early, one should attend Mangal Arati, one should chant the holy names of Krishna, one should associate with devotees, one should only take Krishna prasad. So these are activities which will increase our attachment to Krishna. And there's also nisheda, or restrictions, things that we should not do, because if we do them, they will block our development in Krishna consciousness. Such activities include, for instance, eating food, which is eating vegetarian food. Devotees don't eat vegetarian food. Devotees take Krishna prasada, not just some vegetarian food. Vegetarian food is sinful. Any food not offered to Krishna properly, following the rules and regulations, that is sinful. Practically everything which non-devotees do for their sense gratification, that is all forbidden for devotees. There's no sense gratification. So it requires strength to follow this, because the conditioned soul is attracted to such activities since time immemorial. The tendency is there. Let me enjoy. What is the harm if I watch a little TV now and then, some entertainment? What is the harm? Krishna is very merciful. Yeah, Krishna is very merciful. He gives us the rules by which we can come to Him. But then if we're not interested, then why should Krishna be interested? So the temptation may be there, but Balaram gives the strength. Guru, Balaram manifests as the guru principle. And because we are enjoined to act in such a way that will please the guru. And guru teaches us to act only for the pleasure of Krishna. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. We should act in the devotional life, one should act only performing those activities which enhance our Krishna consciousness, and completely forswearing those activities which form an impediment to the advancement in Krishna consciousness. So we know that Guru is pleased if we perform activities favorable for advancing Krishna consciousness, and is displeased if we perform opposite activities. So with that in mind, that is how a devotee lives his life. A karmi lives his life on the basis of sankalpa vikalpa, the activities of the mind accepting and rejecting on the basis of what is favorable and unfavorable for my sense gratification. A devotee lives his life being ruled by the scriptural injunctions given by guru and sadhus, which are for the development of Krishna consciousness. So although we feel attraction to those in the stage before achieving full perfection in Krishna consciousness, the tendency to indulge in activities that are detrimental for the development of Krishna consciousness, that will remain, but we take strength by remembering the order of Guru, and that Guru gives us strength. That strength is coming from Balaram. So that's the strength. The strength for what? The strength to perform devotional service. And Balaram himself is the exemplar of devotional service. He serves Krishna in multiple ways. In Shantaras, in the neutral way, he expands as the Sandini Shakti, which Sandhini, not Sandhini, Sandhini, which manifests the spiritual world. He personally, although he's the personality of Godhead himself, he doesn't take the role of the supreme enjoyer. This shows us the super excellence of Krishna, that Krishna is so attractive that even though he expands himself as various forms, as Balaram, and then the Chatavyuha, Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and there are so many forms of the Lord, but they also want to serve Krishna. They're also attracted to Krishna. Krishna is all attractive. He even attracts himself to serve himself. He expands himself into other forms who become attracted to serve him. So Balaram serves Krishna as his personal paraphernalia, as his stick, his umbrella, his shoes, his bed, fan, in so many different ways. Balaram, his Brahmin thread, and serves Krishna in these ways. As Balaram, he is as the brother of Krishna, he's in a friendly relationship. As the elder brother, he sometimes takes a regulatory role or protective role, something like a parent. And bearing in mind always that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, then Balaram also takes the form of a servant. Sometimes he will massage Krishna's legs. And in these ways, Balaram serves Krishna in the Dasyaras, the Sakyaras, the mood of being a servant, the mood of being a friend, in Vatsalyaras, in the mood of being a superior, and also in Shringaras, in the Gopi Leela, Balaram takes the form of Ananga Manjari, the younger sister of Radha, to serve Krishna. So Balaram is the very exemplar of service. When Krishna appears as Rama, then Balaram appears as Lakshman to serve Ramachandra in the most surrendered way, leaving his own, although there was no compunction on him to do so. Rama was exiled to the forest. Lakshman could have remained comfortably at home with his wife, but instead he went to the forest. And although the curse or the banishment ordained by Dasharath via Kaikeyi, her purpose was that Ram should suffer in the jungle, or Mantara, her purpose, Mantara. Actually, Lakshman took so much difficulty upon himself. He would not lie down. He remained awake 24 hours. He would guard Ram and Sita at night. He would go to gather firewood and roots and for cooking. So he served Sita and Ram in such a way. He would make some bedding from the forest, grass, and in this way he arranged as far as possible for their comfort in the forest life, and he took so much difficulty upon himself, and he was always prepared to follow the order of Ramachandra, even in cases where he was really loath to do it. For instance, particularly when he was ordered to build a fire for Sita to enter into. Lord Rama ordered that, and also later, after Sita came out of the fire unscathed, and then they all happily went back to Ayodhya, but it was not the they lived happily ever after story. Then again, Rama, on hearing the complaint of the washerman, he ordered Lakshman to take Sita out of Ayodhya, and Lakshman had to do that, and in this way she was banished from Ayodhya. So Lakshman had to perform these very unhappy tasks, even though he did not want to, he did so at the behest of Rama. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, then Balaram came as Nityananda. Brajendra Nandan Jai Shati Suta Hoilo Se Balarama Hoilo Nitai. Who was in Vrindavan known as the son of Nanda Maharaj, he became the son of Shati Mata, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna became Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Balaram became Nityananda. And Nityananda was the fulfilling all the desires of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nityananda Purna Kare Chaitanyara Kam, it is stated in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Nityananda, he would fulfill all the desires of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire of preaching Krishna consciousness. Nityananda, along with Haridas, they were sent as the first preachers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cult in Navadvip Dham. And later, Nityananda was sent to Bengal to preach Krishna consciousness there on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Balaram is the very epitome of service. He gives strength. What is that strength? That is the strength to serve Krishna, which he imparts to us, if we're willing to take that. He imparts to us to give us the strength to serve Krishna within this material world in which the atmosphere is non-conducive. It is inimical to serving Krishna. Everything in this world is geared up for sense gratification. Everything in this world is meant for serving Krishna, but ultimately meant for serving Krishna. But the conditioned souls who inhabit it are here because they have a sense of independence from Krishna. So Balaram gives the strength to infuse us with the spirit of devotion and the determination to remain strong and steady on the path of Krishna consciousness. It is not easy. We've all experienced that it is not easy. Anyone who's... Of course, Srila Prabhupada often say Krishna consciousness is easy. The process is not difficult, but applying ourselves to it, we find, is often difficult. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We have a desire to do so, but so many other desires enter the heart, and so many doubts and misgivings and difficult situations will arise. That is Maya's duty. First of all, she covers the conditioned souls. Avaranatmika vritti. Everyone is covered. Yaya samohito jiva. By her, all the living beings are bewildered, completely bewildered in this material existence. And if someone tries to come out of that material existence, then prakshepatmika vritti, then she has the special overdrive mode by which she throws the aspiring transcendentalist back into her covering. So Maya, that is her duty, to keep us within her control. Balaram gives the strength by which we can come out if we so desire. If we're actually sincere to serve Krishna, then all help is there from Balaram, as given through the disciplic succession. So Balaram is famous for strength. The very name Bala means strength. Rama means means pleasure. Ramante yogino nante satyananda chidatmani iti rama padena so param brahma vidhiyate. The yogis, they're not interested in anything mundane. They take pleasure, unlimited pleasure, in the what is true, actual, real pleasure. That is spiritual pleasure. And the very form of that pleasure is known as Rama, who is the supreme truth. Is known as the soul. So Balaram is the form of supreme transcendental pleasure, and his pleasure, even though he's strong, he can enjoy himself, but his pleasure is in serving Krishna, and he imparts that strength to the conditioned souls, who he wants to see them also engaged in Krishna's service. He wants to see them strong. We should not remain weak simply under the modes of material nature. We are pushed here and there, thrown here and there through 8,400,000 species of life, simply tossed here and there. But Balaram wants to give us the strength to come out of this, the strength of mind, the strength of purpose, to become situated in our actual constitutional position of service to Krishna. So this one point we have to understand. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. I am his servant. I have nothing else, no other duty than to serve Krishna simply for Krishna's pleasure. And if we do so, then we shall, yenatma supersedati, then we shall also become full of pleasure. We are naturally full of pleasure. We don't have to search for pleasure in the sensual objects of this world. We simply have to serve Krishna. Krishna is all pleasure. So Rama, Balarama, he is all pleasure. He is perpetually engaged in serving Krishna in so many different ways, and he wants that we shall do so. So we can pray to Balaram, especially on this day. Pray to Balaram, please give me the strength to serve you. And not only on this day, because we are always very weak before Maya. As jivas, we are very weak. But if we become connected to Krishna, then we become strong. Inherently, we're not strong. But if we're connected with Krishna, then we become strong. So Balaram, his objective is yoga, to link us with Krishna. And therefore, Balaram appears, manifests himself in the form of the guru, in the form of the gurus. There may be many gurus who give us the strength. What is that strength? Do this, do that. You should do they give us the directions by which we may become strong. And by their personal example, they show us how to live and act in Krishna consciousness. And they encourage and enthuse us that you should also act in Krishna consciousness. As Srila Prabhupada would so often say, just do as I am doing. So in this way, we get strength to serve Krishna. Balarama himself, of course, had many pastimes, but they're all for the pleasure of Krishna. Even Balaram dancing with certain gopis, that is described by Jiva Goswami, that Balaram was doing so in the mood of service to Krishna, knowing that these gopis had that desire to dance with Krishna. So Balaram, he is in one sense the supreme enjoyer, but his own mood is that of let me serve Krishna. And he imparts, he gives strength to others to also catch this mood, let me serve Krishna. Even if one has the opportunity to enjoy unlimitedly, as does Balaram, still he is more attracted to serve Krishna. Just see how attractive is Krishna and how attractive is service to Krishna, that even one who has complete opportunity to personally enjoy, he also wants to serve Krishna. So from the example of Balaram, we can understand how glorious, how attractive, how happy it is to serve Krishna. Hare Krishna. Any question or comment about this, please? Okay. The question is, in summary, that I like Krishna, I like his devotees, but I don't have the strength to follow strictly. I follow some things, not fully. I have a family life. Is there any hope for me? Certainly there's hope for everyone. There's no one that there's not hope for, especially in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But at the same time, we should understand that it's not that we're constitutionally weak. If we say, I don't have strength, well, that's understood. None of us have strength. But there is a process by which we can get the strength. It's not that we can say, well, I'm going to be like this. I've decided that I'm constitutionally weak and I'm not going to follow all these things, but can I still be fully Krishna conscious? But one has to apply oneself to the process, and then one can become Krishna conscious. If one says that, well, I don't want to follow the process, or I'm too weak to follow it, and I still want the result of following it, well, that's a kind of hypocrisy. One has to see that others, many others in similar situations are following the process. You can also do if you actually want to. So, if there's a will, there's a way. Krishna will help. So, the idea that, well, I'm not strong, stated as if it's one's ontological position, that there's no hope of me ever becoming strong, that is a mistake. Krishna will give us the strength. Balaram will give us the strength if we actually want to have it. But we have to be prepared to, like you say, may have some austerities. That means we have to, if we want to advance in Krishna consciousness, then we have to follow certain rules and regulations. Otherwise, it doesn't work. No one's forcing you to. It's up to you. But you can go on associating with devotees. If you associate with devotees, then you should hear from them about the process and how and why we should apply ourselves to it. And in this way, we get strength by regularly hearing from and serving devotees. If we actually want to be Krishna conscious, then we will understand what is the process and we will apply ourselves fully to that process. And then we'll get strength to overcome all the impediments on the path of Krishna consciousness. But if we think, I want to remain as I am at this level and I'll do Krishna consciousness at the level that I have decided I am fit for, and little sense gratification here and there, and at the same time I want the full benefit of Krishna consciousness. It's not going to work. There has to be some sacrifice. We can't have Krishna on our own terms. He gives the terms. They're not so difficult. Like I say, there are many people in similar situations to yourself who are following. You can also do. Yeah, there's another question there. Yeah, okay. What is the relationship between Lord Balaram and Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva is said to be the greatest Vaishnava. Who is greater? Well, Lord Shiva is stated, what is that verse? Nimna ganam yata ganga devanam achuto yata then Vaishnavanam yata shambhu purananam idam yata yata, something like that. I can't remember the verse. It's establishing the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, that just as the position of among rivers, the position of the Ganga, among gods, the position of Achyuta, among Vaishnavas, the positions of Shiva, in the same way, among Puranas, this Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, has the same position. In other words, it's the topmost. So that's contextual also. That is. Ganga is the topmost river, but then again, Yamuna is more topmost. In Sanskrit, there are terms, just like param means supreme. Parattara means supreme more. And what would be the parattara? What would be the next one? Parattara, parattaram. Tasmat parattaram. You see that Lord Shiva himself says that. That aradhananam sarvesham vishnur aradhanam param. He says that among all kinds of worship, the worship of Vishnu is supreme. But tasmat parattaram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. But even more supreme is the worship of that which is in relation to him. So Shiva is the topmost Vaishnava. And there are others also who may be even more topmost. That is not a concept understandable in material terms. In the purport, it's the Srila Prabhupada has paraphrased the Janma Karma Chamediv Yam verse. So the question is that it seems that knowledge of Krishna is sufficient to go back to Godhead. Yeah, that's true, but the knowledge of Krishna, it's not passive. If we know about Krishna, then the natural result of knowing about Krishna is that we'll serve Krishna. If we know Krishna is the supreme and we are his servants, then the natural response to that is to serve Krishna. If having known that, if we don't serve Krishna, it means we don't actually know it. It's not really knowing it. Just like we'll meet in India many Hindus who say, yes, 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 I know Krishna is supreme. But they don't want to take it any further than that. So they don't really know. It's superficial knowledge. Therefore, Krishna says, Janma karma cha me divyam evang yoveti tatvataha. One who knows fully. Tyagva dehang punarjanma naiti mameti sojana. One who really understands, Krishna says, that my appearance and activities are transcendental, such a person never takes birth again in this material world but comes to me. Yeah. Rama, Balaram, yes, he has his eternal Shaktis. Revati, Varuni, they're his eternal wives. It's also mentioned in one place he has a girlfriend, Purna Ananda, but there's no more information given. Secret stuff. The two categories, pleasure and service, are they strictly separated? No, they are, Krishna is, he's the supreme enjoyer, and all the other living beings are enjoyed, but those who are enjoyed, they take pleasure from serving. So in spiritual existence, it's all pleasure. But Krishna experiences pleasure by being served, and the others experience pleasure by serving. And Krishna also likes to serve his devotees. Is it forbidden pleasure for a mother to serve her child? Well, the mother serves the child not for the sake of getting pleasure, but out of she doesn't even think why she does it. It's just such a strong impulse to do so. So pure devotional service is like that. The pure devotees don't sit around having a logical consideration, should I serve Krishna or not? They do so. Naturally, they're attracted to do so. On the platform of worldly dharma, a mother serves her child. Although, from the transcendental viewpoint, that is also another form of maya to be attached to children. So should she do it or not? She should certainly do it. But she should know also that ultimately, I have no connection with this body. My real connection is with Krishna. So, having taken this role of as a mother to a child, I should perform my worldly duty of maintaining bringing up the child, but doing so in Krishna consciousness. What is the meaning of this expansion? Of Balaram expands as Ananta Shesha. Yeah, he expands as the bed of Krishna, Ananta Shesha. What is the meaning? Well, what do you want? Do you want something like at school you have study of physics and you see how one energy affects something else? This is transcendental. What do you want? Do you want the equation for this or what? Yeah, well, we can't understand it by material intelligence. It's just Balaram expands, means he's eternally expanded. It's not that it takes place at any particular moment in time. Although within Krishna's pastimes, it may appear to be like that. Just like Lakshmi appears from the ocean of milk and she chooses Vishnu as her husband. Agni gives to Krishna the Sudarshan Chakra. These are all eternal. Lakshmi and Vishnu are eternal, wife and husband. Sudarshan is the eternal weapon of Krishna, but it may, for the sake of pastimes, it appears to have a beginning within worldly time. So, Ananta Shesha is an expansion of Balaram, but that's permanent also. It means Balaram is quite conscious of being Ananta Shesha. We find that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, at that time he was known as Nimai Pandit, living in Navadvip, they were walking down the Ganga from Navadvip to go to Shantipur, and at some point they jumped in the Ganga, and Nitai took the form of Ananta Shesha, and Gaurahari, he floated on him down. Similarly, Akrura, when he was bathing in the Yamuna, taking Krishna and Balaram to Mathura, while he was bathing in the Yamuna, he had a vision of Krishna and Balaram being Narayan on Ananta Shesha. So Balaram is non-different from Ananta Shesha. He expands himself. He's quite conscious of that. That is eternal. Exactly what are the physics or metaphysics of that? How can we understand? Being limited jivas. And it's not that important how we understand it. If we try to understand too much, we'll get more confused. If we just accept, yes, Ananta Shesha is eternal. Balaram at any time, as is convenient for the pastimes of Krishna, he can manifest the form of Ananta Shesha, and permanently he does so in Vaikuntha. That's the understanding. That's enough. If we try to understand it too much and then think we have to make some equation and put it in a school book, then we'll just get more bewildered. That's enough. Just accept that much. That's all. There's a question there first.
How can we make stronger our spiritual strength?
How can we make stronger our spiritual strength? Well, throughout the class, I was emphasizing on the matter of taking strength from Balaram, from Guru. You have to pray for that and sincerely apply ourselves. That's all. There's a process. We apply ourselves to it. Yeah, question. Vartma Pradasha Guru is not necessarily a devotee. Well, there should be a devotee of sorts, at least. Just like we find the mother of Dhruva Maharaj, she wasn't as strong a devotee as he was, but she gave him the right direction to worship Vishnu. We find Chintamani, who gave direction. She was the girlfriend of this Bilva Mangal, so he became a superlative devotee, but she just gave him the direction. She said she gave him the idea to worship Krishna, so she must be a devotee of some sort. Otherwise, why should she give that idea? So Vartma Pradasha Guru can be a devotee. What are you thinking of? They may not need to be a devotee. If the Vatma Pradasha Guru, they directly give the idea to worship Krishna, they must be a devotee of some sort. Is such a person a manifestation of Lord Balaram? Well, yeah, the devotee can see, just like we find Bilva Mangal, he offers respects to his initiating guru and also mentions Chintamani. So he recognizes that at least at that time Balaram manifested himself through that person. Srila Prabhupada, he was publishing Bhakti Godhead magazine on the order of his guru. And a librarian in Delhi said to him that better that you publish books because they will have a more lasting effect. And Srila Prabhupada thought that my guru who had ordered me to make this magazine, now he's appearing and he's speaking through this librarian. So he saw that not that the librarian was a transcendentalist, but Srila Prabhupada saw that his guru was speaking through this person. Srila Prabhupada didn't stop producing Bhakti Godhead, but he started producing books also. So, guru may manifest in various ways, if one can recognize him. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wrote in one essay that one who is awake to see that will find the manifestation of guru everywhere and in everything, speaking to us always. Something to that effect. There was some other question? Someone else? No. So should we finish? No, there's another question there. Is it the proper understanding that any time we have any strength, it is personally Lord Balaram? Well, the strength that we get for sense gratification, that's not personally Balaram. All strength ultimately comes from Krishna, but the strength we get for enjoying sense gratification, that's not directly coming. That's coming through the perverted energy. But the strength that we get for serving Krishna, that is certainly manifestation of Balaram's mercy. Yeah. Is Balaram eternally residing in Golok Vrindavan? Yes, we understand from Shastra. Balaram is eternally residing in Golok Vrindavan. And in Dwarka. And in Mathura. Hare Krishna. Balaram Bhagavan Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.